Giving out the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. And if you want to support the show, hit the link in the description and pre-order your copy of NBA 2K25. You get lots of added benefits, so make sure you get involved and support us by helping yourself to the best game of the year. It's myself, Momusi, alongside me as always, the one and only Mr. Scott Perry, making a rare appearance on the podcast, Mr. BJ Armstrong. Even though his face is on the cover, he's been slacking off work.
Yeah, Mo's got jokes.
I had a conversation with a friend. This isn't a joke. And I said, man, I'm tired as hell. He said, yeah, you are. Because sometimes BJ don't do the podcast. Sometimes Scott don't do the podcast. Sometimes neither of them do the podcast. But you're there every day. I feel like I need to teach you guys how to use all the editing software. And I'm going to go take a holiday. Because, boy, 530 episodes deep. I feel like I deserve some sort of rest, but
you do.
It's the off season. We're going to talk about more off season moves. We're going to kick this off by talking about the Philadelphia 76ers. But before we do that, I heard a quote from Paul George today. I don't know if you guys saw this. He said that reflecting on his time with the Clippers, he said that playing for the Clippers felt like playing for the B team in LA. And I thought that was a little disrespectful. Given that everything they traded for him, Shea, and all of their picks for the rest of eternity. And given how he did so many interviews talking about how he wants to be a Clipper for the rest of his career, so on and so forth. And now he's over with the Sixers. He's talking a little smack. What do you guys make of those comments from Paul George?
Well, did he say that while he was playing there?
No, he said it now.
That's my question. I know you just said now. That's what I'm saying. He didn't say it while he was playing there. So... I really don't.
But when he did his press conference, when he signed there, he said he grew up a Clippers fan.
Oh, no question. Yeah, no. look, it's reminds me a little bit of the whole. You know, obviously I'm partial because I worked at the Knicks, but the Knicks Brooklyn argument. There's many more Knicks fans in New York.
Yeah,
easily. Even in Brooklyn,
in the rest of the world too.
In the rest of the world too, but in that area. And the Lakers are one of the original franchises, iconic franchise. So it's always going to be a tough competition for the Clippers, you know, to overtake the popularity of the Lakers, because this has been passed on for generations. Kids have been raised to be Lakers fans. And then when they grow up, they have kids and raise them to be Lakers fans. Just like what I watched happen with the Knicks, you know, Knicks fans, you know, raise their kids to be Knicks fans and so on and so forth. And it's hard if you're Brooklyn or the Clippers to interrupt that cycle. And that's just a fact.
BJ, did you ever want to talk a little smack about one of your former teams after you left? Or is that just the Paul George thing?
You know, Mom, believe it or not, there used to be a thing called professionalism. And now all of this chatter, things that, you know, some things don't need to be said, you know, and you got the right to feel however you want to feel. But in our day, you never let your feelings get in the way of your business. And as far as I can tell, like, you know, with Steve Ballmer and company, on the 1st and the 15th, everything cleared. That's the business we're in. And in order, if you want to change that perception, then there's only one way to do it. You got to win. That's how you, if you want to change something in this league, it's one thing that has to be done. There's no way around it. That's called performance. So all of the things, you can talk your way to a lot of things in life, but when it comes to sports, in particular, professional sports, you have to perform. So however you feel, but the game starts at 7:30. All the talking must stop then, and you got to do it. You got to perform. So that's fine. It is what it is. And let's see what happens in the city of brotherly love. Well, because they're going to be in real time up there. Okay. I saw them boo Santa Claus. Okay. they boo it. So again, I'm just going to talk. And you heard me say this, and Scott's probably never heard me say this, but The audience is, Herman says, I like to stay on the court. Mo loves to talk about off the court and what people are doing. I like to stay on the court. So I'm just going to keep my comments to what Paul George, what he does in between those lines. And I'm going to have a lot to say this year because I'm expecting that group to produce.
Oh. Well,
it's at minimum, they got to make the conference final.
Yeah, oh, that's what I'm saying.
We can get to that.
But, so this, because you know, Big Moses was there. The late Big Moses, rest in peace. Barkley was there. Dr. J was there. One of my favorite players, Andrew Tony, was there. Mo Cheeks. So I know that's the A team.
Don't forget George McGinnis.
George McGinnis was there.
Here's the thing. Allen Iverson.
Exactly.
To the finals.
Exactly.
Here's the thing on Paul George.
Either he grew up a Clippers fan or he felt like he was playing for the B team in LA. All I know is the way this man's lying. Are we sure that he's not running for president now that Joe Biden stepped down? Because this is a line that you only see in a level of politics.
I don't know. Like I said, I have no comments there. But,
oh, I do.
Yeah, I'm going to let you have it, but I will have comments during the season.
Here's what I will say, and this is why you should have comments during the season. The Sixers, on paper, have put together a very nice offseason. They picked up Jaren McCain in the draft. They picked up Andre Drummond, Eric Gordon. Kelly Oubre signed a team-friendly deal. Then they went out and got Paul George. They gave Tyrese Maxey an extension. They managed to poach Caleb Martin from the Miami Heat by paying him less money than what the Miami Heat offered. They re-signed Kyle Lowry on a minimum. And now they're getting even deeper because Reggie Jackson was waived by the Hornets and he intends to sign with the Philadelphia 76ers. What do you think about Reggie Jackson joining this squad, given that they've already just signed Kyle Lowry and Tyrese Maxey is going to be taking up the majority of those minutes at a point guard spot?
How I look at it, you never can have too much insurance when you're putting yourself in positions and the stated goal is to get to an NBA Finals with a chance to win a championship. And I just said it a second ago, bare minimum Eastern Conference Finals. Look, Kyle Lowry, excellent veteran point guard, but he's getting up there in age. Reggie Jackson is a veteran player too. What's Reggie Jackson now? 32, 33 years old. 34. So he having that veteran presence there and making sure, you know, you obviously hope both of them remain healthy for the entire season. But I look at it as additional assurance at that guard position. Guys got a lot of playoff experience. And you just never know. BJ knows this all too well. Regular season has always been a battle of attrition in this league. And so if you got another veteran body who can play some different stints throughout the season to help your cause and win enough games to put you in position to host a number of home playoff games. Because, look, if you're Philadelphia, you got to be shooting for a 1 or 2 seed in this Eastern Conference is well done the regular season so that you can put yourself in position to be hosting at least the first 2 rounds and maybe even host the finals round, the Eastern Conference finals round. So that's how I look at it.
BJ, what's your take?
Well, I look at the roster and I'm going, okay, I got 35 minutes plus for Tyrese Maxey. So I don't know how they're going to divide up the other, what is that? 13 other minutes at the point guard position or league guard position. All right. Great names. Kyle Lowry. Great names. You know, who you just said, what's the kid you just mentioned?
Reggie Jackson.
Okay. Those are great names, but Tyrese Maxey is 40 minutes plus when the playoffs begin. So I'm not into that. And so I'm looking at it going, okay, the 2 guard is Paul George. That's 35 minutes plus.
Who are you playing your 3 and your 4? Because the 4 seems to be the area of concern.
I'm looking at the roster right now.
Kelly Oubre. Kelly Oubre is going to play
some. Okay. There is a certain level of physicality that you got to bring to the game.
So also, there's, Scott, if you play Kelly Oubre at the four, who are you playing at the three?
Not at the four. No, no, not at the four. I said at the three.
Who you got at the four, though? This is my question.
I would have Oubre at the two, and I'd be trying to play Paul George at the three.
But that power forward spot is my area for concern with them.
Yeah. I don't. I'm looking at the roster going, okay. I mean, I don't know the health of Joel Embiid.
He's looking slow as hell out there in the Olympic warm-up games.
I don't know what that is.
And I saw then him block a shot and take about 10 minutes to stand up off the floor after.
I'm looking at all of the dirty work that's necessary to win. When you're talking about winning a championship and building a championship-caliber team, right?
Mm-hmm.
I see this as an incomplete roster. Do I like the names? Names, I think, could look good. But I'm looking at the team. Like, I don't see... You know, the necessary pieces.
They don't have a prototypical four man.
Yeah, I don't see the roster.
I agree with that. Yeah.
And Paul George has not shown me over his years to be able to play off the ball. He needs that ball in his hand to play one on one and do all those things. Now, Tyrese Maxey, we've seen this when you try to take the ball out of Maxey's hands. With the ball in his hands, he's an all-star. When you put James Harden in there, then he floats. Scott Mo heard me say this all year. Tyrese Maxey is an all-star caliber player.
Absolutely.
Okay? So Tyrese Maxey is going to have that ball. Didn't he just get the max, if I recall?
Yep.
He just got the max.
Yes. Yep. Oh, yeah. He waited. Gave the team a chance.
So Tyrese Maxey, based on what I can see, but again, I get it. It's a new game and new everybody paces the space. Tyrese Maxey can play downhill. I'm a roll with that. Now, that man there is as fast as I've seen in the league in quite mm-hmm. some time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see anyone else as durable as him on that roster and can play at that pace, what is mm-hmm. absolutely necessary if you're going to win in this league. Now, Paul George, I don't know what that health concern situation is. Hey, Joel Embiid, I don't know. If they're healthy, I like their chances. However, I'm still concerned about players on their – I'm concerned about their role players being able to do all of the necessary small things.
Not enough dogs up there in Philly is what you're saying.
I'm not saying dogs. I'm concerned about players who can do the small things. Someone's got to set some screens. Someone's going to have to guard the other players, best players. Someone's going to have to get the loose ball. Someone's going to have to play with a certain level of physicality. Someone's going to have to do all of those things so that those star players can be stars. I like what they're doing, but I think this is incomplete as is.
Yeah. Yeah. They're going to have to do those little things. That's Caleb Martin and Kelly Oubre. But both of those guys are 6'5".
Yeah, I think the lineup they'll go with is Maxey, Caleb Martin, Kelly Oubre, Paul George, and Joel Embiid. And those three guys, I guess you can kind of switch them because they're all kind of the same size in Oubre, Martin, and Paul George. But, you know, when you come up against bigger teams, like how are you going to guard, let's say, for example, the Milwaukee Bucks if Giannis is playing the four? Mm-hmm. How are you going to guard... the Cleveland Cavaliers, because Mobley just got that huge extension and we expect to see some growth from him. How are you going to guard even the Boston Celtics? Because we've seen Jason Tatum cook Paul George every time he faces.
Look, how they going to guard Julius Randle?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
There's no matchup of
Julius Randle on there, you know, yeah. so.
Mm-hmm. So when you look at the Sixers, do you think they won't actually beat their second round demons again this year?
Well, it's so early, Mo, because you have to believe there's another move in there somewhere, whether it is, you know, it probably have to be end up being a trade at some point to get that size in there.
Knowing the Sixers and led by Daryl Morey, it's got to be someone who formerly was a Houston Rocket during his tenure there, because that's what he seems to love signing. They had Robert Covington. I don't know if they'll try bring him back. Mm-hmm. They've had PJ Tucker there. There's an option. I mean, there's a...
Look, if the Knicks are healthy, and that's, you know, and that's really pointed mostly towards Mitchell Robinson. And I know Julius missed a lot last year, but, you know, Julius over the last 4 or 5 years, prior to this past season, has been pretty doggone durable. Played a lot of games. There's not a matchup at the four for them. I mean, the Sixers, they'll struggle matching up against them. And then the Knicks will have enough on the wings. They have enough length, athleticism. I don't know that they're I don't know that they're better than the Knicks, as I look at it right now, on paper. Because I wasn't, when you guys point out a great point. Man, it's a big hole at that four position due to size, lack of size there. Okay, yeah, you got some, you know, decent athletes that'll hustle, and you know, and Oubre and Caleb Martin. But man, again, that's 6'5" playing those positions now. Okay, you might be able to get away with it at certain points in the regular season, because you know teams play small and all that kind of stuff. But again, you have to, and BJ knows this better than anybody. Even during that trek during the regular season, you're preparing to be a great playoff team if you're trying to win a championship. You follow what I'm saying? So you can't, you know, your preparation is ongoing getting to that point. So so if they show up in the playoffs and they still start 6'5" at the four position.
Randall, OG, Mikal Bridges, Josh Hart.
Physical
those
team.
Those are the bodies that translate, that we know, to the physical brand of basketball that will be played, provided everyone is healthy.
It's healthy, exactly.
Okay, you know what I mean? And Jaylen Brown and Al Horford and all that translates.
Oh, we know Al Horford loves playing against the Sixers.
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. That translates. Okay, so we'll see what happens. I'm gonna, like I said, it's incomplete. I'm going to assume that Daryl Morey and company, they're going to do something to address this. But if you're asking me right now, as is, and Julius Randle and OG are playing at the 3 and 4, and Mikal Bridges and Josh Hart's coming off the bench at the 2, no, I'm going to, and Mitchell Robinson is a physical player, okay?
Yeah.
So I like that better coming into the playoffs if you're asking me today.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
You know, we talked about Reggie Jackson joining this team, and another player that's changed teams over the offseason is Russell Westbrook, who is now with the Denver Nuggets, just 1 year removed from their championship. We talked a lot during the course of the season. It feels like every week we talked about the lack of depth for the Nuggets, and now they've lost KCP, they've lost even more depth. They're obviously hoping for a lot of growth internally from some of the players that they've got on the roster, especially the young guys. The kid they drafted this year has already, I think, torn his Achilles, if I'm not mistaken. So he's going to be out for the season.
Yes, he did. He did in the summer league. Yes,
they've added Russell Westbrook. How do you like the fit of Russell Westbrook in Denver?
Jay, you want to go on that first?
Yeah. Right now, it appears to me that the Denver Nuggets are having what I would say sometimes, Scott, as you know, there can be healthy conflict between your executives and your coaches. Clearly, this team is ready to win now. And when you put the right pieces around Jokic and Murray, they have a chance. Okay. Now, they've lost KCP, which I thought was a
big loss.
That's a big loss. Okay.
Yeah, big loss. Yeah.
What's the kid that they lost? They lost two kids. Brown. Jeff Green and Bruce Brown. Right?
Calling Jeff Green a kid is a great compliment to Uncle Jeff.
Yeah. Hey, Uncle Jeff is he's ageless. Okay. He's timeless. That guy just keeps going. That guy keeps dunking on people. So he's a kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I thought it was a big sign when they lost those two players, because both of those players finished games for them in the playoffs.
Yep.
They weren't just role players. They were key role players who found, in my opinion, a home on a championship caliber team, who gave them a different look from their starting team. And they contributed in a way that they were like key contributors to that championship. Now, were they role players and bench players? Yes. I think there's something going on there because you can't tell me with Jokic, what, last year's MVP?
In his prime.
That, this shouldn't, that, that they should not be going for it every year. And now they've lost three players, and Jamal Murray's health seems to be a concern. Now, I know he had an ACL, what, a couple years ago or two or three years ago. He recovered. But he had some injuries last year in the playoffs. It appears to be that, you know, there's something going on there. I don't know. I'm not there. But I'm concerned now because I'm expecting them to build a championship caliber roster every year. And right now, losing KCP, I have concerns now. Because that young man was, I mean, he guarded everyone on the other team, right? And he found his niche with that group. So much so that he was very, he was highly coveted by what, the Orlando Magic? Is that who
KCP?
Who
got him?
Yes, KCP. Yes, yep.
So I'm concerned now what's going on between the front office and the coaches because something seems to be, there seems to be a little friction there. I don't know this. I'm just observing from afar and I'm not in, I'm not saying there is something, but when you start losing key contributors to a championship caliber team, at the very least, you allow that team to have opportunity to defend it. And they didn't even give that team a year, the following year to defend it. Okay. And so I'm a little concerned now. And now to me, losing KCP, that's a big blow to a championship caliber group when your best player, Jokic, is in his prime. So I think Russell works. I like Russell, as you guys know. I'm concerned now.
I think they're trying to stay under that second apron or get under that second apron. And I think it comes down to ownership, not wanting to spend that money. But if you are 1 year removed from a championship and you have the best player in the world in his prime, if you're not willing to spend that money, then sell the team.
Boy, you got it, Mo. You coming hard today. You want to get the guy to sell the team.
I got no love for the Nets owners because they own Arsenal FC in the Premier League, who are rivals with, you know, so I got no love for them.
But let me address kind of what you, one of the things BJ talked about again. I'm not there either. But obviously, you read a little bit and you hear a little bit. And there seems to be a disconnect right now between front office, coaching staff. And see, this is your job, you know, as a front office person and as a former coach, I always thought I had a pretty good handle and understanding of that. That look, coaches always live in the now and in the immediate. You can't, it's hard for coaches to be looking 2, 3, 4 years out. Especially when you got a guy like Nikola Jokic in his prime, three-time MVP, you just won a championship 2 years ago. You're trying to stay in that moment until you, till the wheels come off, and then you, you know, then you regroup. What they're doing, sometimes front offices can get caught in the battle of, okay, we're up against it financially, and they want to see their younger draft picks play. So Christian Braun is one of their picks. Peyton Watson is a recent pick. So what this says to me is that the front office is saying, no, we got to develop guys in-house who are cheaper labor because they're on their rookie scale deals. Let's incorporate them, play. It's incumbent upon us to play them and have them help us win and keep the train moving. Whereas if you, you know, coach and this front office people too would feel differently and say, no, let's get as many veteran guys as we can get in here now and make sure that we're in these conference finals, going to the finals each and every year during Jokic's run. And so that is what I think is at the core. Again, I'm not there, but that is my best and most experienced observation, kind of watching it from afar and have seen these internal struggles before. That's what I'm seeing there. So now this is going to be all about Christian Braun this season? What kind of step can he take? Now, that's why if you're in the front office, if you're Calvin Booth, he's hoping that this kid is really ready to make a big jump and take over for KCP. Now, I'm not so sure, you know, so sure he's ready to do that yet. KCP has won 2 world titles.
Yeah.
You know, one with the Lakers and one with Denver. So be interesting to see. Be interesting to see. But in terms of Russ, you know, I just love his competitiveness on the roster. So, you know, is he going to make the difference for them getting back to the finals? That I don't know. But I love having that competitor in my locker room. And I know one thing. When the whistle, when the ball is jumped up to start the game, and that whistle, that final horn goes off, that guy's gonna give you everything he has.
Yep.
And you love having guys like that.
And Russell Westbrook broke the triple double record against them Nuggets. I believe there was a season where he hit a game winning shot, which kind of eliminated the Nuggets from playoff contention. And he's had numerous kind of almost altercations with the Nuggets and Nikola Jokic, who everyone else in the NBA seems to be afraid of. So there's no doubt he'll command the respect of the locker room, which is something that I really like. And I've heard a rumor that this is the first time ever that Nikola Jokic has gone to the front office and said to them he wants to play with player X, and player X being Russell Westbrook. This is the first time he's ever told them about a move he wants to make. So Jokic, with his basketball IQ, must be seeing something.
He's earned himself some more trips too, by the way, Mo, to do that. More trips to the front office.
Yeah, exactly. Like we hear about other superstars who pretty much run their team's front office decisions. LeBron. Yeah. But you know, it's nice for Jokic wanting to have Russell Westbrook with him, who doesn't want to play with an elite competitor. But Scott, when we were doing the podcast while BJ was busy in Las Vegas, we talked a bit about the Milwaukee Bucks in one of the episodes last week. And as luck would have it, as soon as we finished recording the episode, the Milwaukee Bucks made what I think could pay off to be the best veteran minimum signing of the offseason, because they managed to secure Gary Trent Jr. Because we spent a lot of time talking about they need some perimeter defense at that guard position, and they managed to get him. He had offers for more than a veteran minimum elsewhere, according to different sources. But they managed to sign Gary Trent Jr. to play at that two spot alongside Damian Lillard. Gary Trent Jr. can be a player that can come in and play some good defense and knock down some threes. How much more confident does this make you about the Milwaukee Bucks? If we're now looking at Dame, Gary Trent, Chris Middleton, Giannis, Brooke Lopez, and then your bench, you've got Delon Wright, you've got Torian Prince, AJ Green, Bobby Portis, Pat Connaughton, and Jackson as well. So how much more confident does this signing make you? Because it does address a glaring need and a glaring weakness that the Milwaukee Bucks had.
Well, like I said to you the other day, Mo, Giannis is like the Miami Heat for me. I don't count him out until he is...
Giannis is a little better than the Miami Heat for me.
Exactly. No, but what I mean by that, you know the guy's gonna compete. He's one of the elite players in the league. He's gonna give that team a chance. I still have a concern about the Bucks' age a little bit in athleticism going through the regular season. You know, again, I think so much for how can Chris Middleton come back? Can Chris Middleton come back fully healthy and give you an entire season? To me, that's going to be the key. If he does that, then the Bucks are, to me, a legitimate title threat again. But again, that's a big if, because he's missed a lot of time over the last couple of seasons and has battled a lot of different injuries. And I know Chris Middleton was in Detroit. We were in Detroit when we drafted Chris. So to watch him grow and to the player that he's become, I mean, you know, he's had an awesome career. But he is going to be so key. You know, Mo, you and I also had talked about Brooke Lopez. Now, Brooke Lopez has gotten up there in age. Who can they have as a backup to help him get through the regular season? I still think he has some good basketball left in him. But again, that 82-game grind, I don't want him to waste all of his play and all of his energy during that regular season if I can find a way to buy him some time where he's not playing as many minutes or as many games during the regular season. So those are my biggest concerns about the Bucks. Still, I do like Gary Trent. I think Gary Trent is an upgrade from what they had starting last year, quite frankly. Over Malik Beasley, I think he will try to give you a good defensive effort. That's going to be important next to Dame Lillard. And Dame, that's going to be important to see what Dame is ever able to do this year in terms of his comfort level of playing with this team now. He's okay. He got the first year out the way. Now, you know, Doc Rivers came in at the middle of the season. Now they're going to have a full training camp with Doc Rivers. So this is a make or break year for the Bucks to me with this group that they have here now. So, again, let's see what happens.
And you got to remember, these guys played together on the Portland Trailblazers. And Dame and Gary Trent Jr. both had some of their best games when they were playing alongside each other in the bubble. So that familiarity and that comfort for this backcourt is there already with that experience together in Portland.
I'm still getting, again, like I said, I'm worried about Middleton. You know, I got to see what he looks like. And still defensively, you're not big at the guard positions. You know, Dame is a smaller guard. And we've talked about him. You know, Dame is,
what is he about? A below average now, defender. 34-35?
At 34-35. So you can't expect him to be applying a lot of pressure on the perimeter defensively. So it's just going to be interesting to see the lineups that Doc uses, what kind of schemes he tries to use defensively, because he knows, as do the players know, just the importance that defense plays if you're trying to be a champion. They were subpar in that area last year, and that was that, along with Giannis's injury and Middleton's injury, you know, help derail them. So they got to figure that out come training camp. And I know this summer, last thing I'll say, from what I understand, and BJ was out there at Summer League, Andre Jackson and Beauchamp didn't have really good summer leagues. Again, the summer league, but I'm sure that they wanted to see those guys play better and show that they were more ready to contribute for the upcoming season. So, because they don't have, you know, draft picks to go out and, you know, trade to go get players, and they don't have a roster full of guys that may be, they have some appealing guys on the roster, but they're not trying to give those guys up in order to win. You know, they're back-end rotational guys. I don't know how much value they have around the league. So my opinion, educated opinion, is they probably don't have much. And so now, again, this group, they're stuck with this group, and this group has to perform and take them back at minimum to a conference finals, not a final. And we'll see.
DJ, what's your take on the Bucks?
Well, you know, last year it was total chaos.
Understatement.
Yeah, it was total chaos. And what happened? There's no doubt about it. You know, I don't even want to revisit it, but they had a lot of changes. Doc comes in, da-da-da, and clearly this season was a disappointment for them, especially when you have a player like Giannis. And he was injured there, so, you know, now they get to run this back. Now, I'm not sure, as is, when I look at the roster here, that this team is ready to play 82 games plus and win 16 games in the NBA Finals, just from a defensive standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Clearly, defensively, this team had some problems. And I'm not blaming one person, because you play team defense. You know, they have a former defensive player of the year, Giannis, so we know he can play at an elite level. Just 2 years ago, I think he finished second in the voting, Brooke Lopez, defensively. And then all of a sudden this year, I mean, they were just terrible. I mean, I don't know where they finished at, but they were in the bottom half of the league as far as on the defensive end. And being an ex-guard, as you age, that's not one of your strong, that's not a good place to be in as a small guard.
And Drew Holiday was busy winning a championship in Boston.
Okay, I'm going to let Bo tackle that. Okay, but I'm going to say this. They have some issues that they have to address. And it's not about offense. Scoring-wise, they're going to be fine. defensively. And we talk about pace and we talk about playing at a certain, you know, rhythm and flow to the game. I didn't like the pace in which this team played on the offensive end. They need to infuse some youth to this group. I like the veterans, but I'm trying to say it in a nice, kind way. They need to infuse some athleticism, some speed to go with these veterans, and they need to have that balance because those veterans are going to need some help getting through the regular season. And they're going to need to be able to play different styles of play, especially when they run against those young teams that are going to be playing fast and athletic and pace and space, five out basketball and all of those things. So they have star names. They have, I think, terrific players. I think those guys are capable of finishing the game. However, we can't forget about the work. And the work is those 82 games are staring in front of this team. And I think that's going to be a problem for this group if they come into training camp right here. It's so much of a problem now that I think they're going to have to make some major moves if this thing doesn't turn out at least to a conference finals. Now, we talk about Philly. We're talking about the Knicks. Mo, we're talking about your Celtics. And now we're talking about the Bucks. Well, two, maybe three, or maybe all four of them won't get there. And that won't be good for this group. Especially this group.
Let me ask this. And let's understand, and let's not forget, Orlando got better this offseason.
Right.
It was a playoff team.
Pacers. Caps.
You know, went to the conference final. Cavaliers. Right. You know, retained their group pretty much. They got a new coach.
So it'll be interesting. I think it's going to be tough for this group. I think this group is at its moment of truth. And if they get back to the conference finals, okay. But if they don't, I'm expecting some changes to happen there. And I think sooner rather than later.
Oh, with this group. Yeah, no question.
BJ, let me ask you this. You know, we talked about the Sixers earlier on. We were just talking about the Bucks. Which of those teams are you more confident in?
About the Bucks and who? And the Sixers?
The Sixers, yeah.
I'm going to say Tyrese Maxey right now. I'm because getting through the regular season. Look, Giannis is Giannis. However, if Giannis misses any substantial amount of time, I just don't see that happening for the Bucks.
Yeah.
Okay. So during the regular season, Tyrese Maxey can play that pace the regular season.
I look at it this way. No, and I agree with it. I look at it this way. You got to figure Joel Embiid is going to miss a minimum of 15 games this year, right? A minimum. You know, he may try to play 65 to get back into the MVP race, so that means he can miss 17. And then you talk about Giannis, you know, being the star of Milwaukee. Which team can stay afloat the best without their best guy during the regular season?
I think it's Philly for sure.
And I think because you talk about the younger Maxey being able to carry it, the additions they made, and they added Paul George.
Embiid's health concerns are far more significant than Giannis' health concerns. And if Embiid's injured, you're playing Andre Drummond as your starting center?
No, but I'm saying in the regular season, if they both, let's say they both miss 15 games.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Which roster?
Oh, Philly then.
Remaining players.
But let me ask you guys.
That's why I would have Philadelphia ahead of Milwaukee.
Let me ask you this: who's a better duo, Maxey and Embiid, or Damian Giannis? Which duo would you rather have? And you got to go through 82 games and the playoffs. Which duo would you rather have?
Wow. You know, this might be contrary to, you know, what you've heard me say a lot all the time. I would lean towards the Philadelphia group.
Embiid and Maxey.
Yes, MB's been an MVP. Maxey's going to be. I mean, he was an all-star this year, and will, for all, you know, as long as he stays healthy, will be in a perennial all-star at the guard position. And you're talking about a regular season, just energy night in, night out. He gives me more defensively than what Dame can give me at age 34 as well. So, and look, Giannis is tremendous. He's more versatile than Joel Embiid. You know, he defensively he can get out. He can, you know, pretty much Giannis can guard 1 through 5 pretty much. And so, you know, I love that about him. But Joel Embiid, if he's healthy, Giannis is healthy, nobody can stop Joel Embiid in the NBA, in NBA games. I mean, he scores at will. He's going to get to the free throw line, Mo. I know you how much you love seeing him go to the free throw line. so I would favor that duo right now, considering that both are healthy.
What about you, BJ?
The Milwaukee Bucks.
Dame and Giannis.
And here's why. I have to consider and look at this, and Scott taught me this. I have to look at the game from a new lens. The best ability is availability. And the word if is very important. If Joel is healthy. Okay, well, we can have that's a legit, you flip up a coin and you say, you know what? It's like you got the number two pick. Well, if you get number one, you get to choose between Giannis and Joel, but hey, if you take Joel and Giannis falls to me at two,
exactly.
I'm feeling good about that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now Dame is up there at age right now. You know, he's 34. He's still a very productive player. But you know what? I just can't bet against Giannis when it comes down. Well, you know, when you got to go when you putting everything on the line. Giannis is going to give you everything.
Oh no, he gives you everything you got.
Yeah, and I just can't. I can't. But it was if tough you use the word say. If, yeah, if you say if, mm-hmm. if you use that word if.
Yeah, and I qualified mine with if. I'll be honest with you.
Every conversation about the Sixers and Joel Embiid is qualified with if. Every discussion ever about Embiid is if Embiid could stay healthy, he'd be one of the best big men of all time. If Embiid played this many games, he'd be the MVP. Yeah. If I'm sick of it.
I'm going with Giannis, and he's going to show up and he's going to give me what he has. And you know what?
It's funny that you said that. Like, yeah, if it was a 1-to-1, Giannis versus Joel, and we kind of answered it before, Milwaukee without Giannis
has no.
They're going to be toast in the regular season. Philadelphia, yeah, they're not as good without Joel, but they can keep the ship afloat like they did last year to make it to the playoffs, even though they went, you know, playing.
And I think Drummond is going to be a good pickup.
Yes, he will be.
Drummond will come out. Drummond is capable of doing a 20-20 as a backup in this league.
Yeah, because 10 of those 20 rebounds are him catching his own misses off the backboard when his layups hit the backboard and come back to him.
But to your point,
one thing I'm sick of is everyone talking about Andre Drummond being a historic rebounder. I watch him play. Come on, man. Come on.
Hey,
don't give me 20-20 from Andre Drummond.
I'm not gonna get stuck on Drummond, but what I was gonna say, but he's serviceable.
Yes.
I don't know, but there's nobody serviceable behind Giannis. Of course, Drummond can't make up for the scoring and all that stuff that Embiid does, but he's a big body, and he will rebound the basketball. And you got, you know, when you drive the lane, you got to respect him. He's, you know, you got to make your mind up that, okay, I'm going to go in here. This big fella can knock me down. He may catch my shot. So, but the reason what tilted it for me when you talk to Tucson, see, I took the other side of it. I took Maxey over Dame.
And that outweighs the difference between, so you think that's the why. Difference because Maxey and Dame is
because of the youth. Yes, because of the youth, the energy, you know, okay, yeah, is Dame more accomplished? Yeah, he's been in the league long, he's done a lot. But watching this kid, I mean, I don't see any any regression anytime soon in this kid's game. I think he's just gonna keep getting better and better. Mm-hmm. And his confidence, you know, after what he did in the playoffs, especially when they went and had that big win in New York in that playoff series, his confidence is gonna be off the charts. Mm-hmm. And he's gonna be really tough to deal with. And then, so that's why the twosome, I'm giving him that much more. I don't, you know, respect maybe isn't that the word, but I'm giving him, you know, more credit for where he's at in his game today versus Dame Lillard. And so, so anyway, again, that look, like, be at the end of the day, if it was a pick thing and I got the second pick and you told me I can end up with either one of those twosomes, there's a whole lot worse problems than that.
You get that.
Exactly. I would just try to find a way to get Maxi with Giannis. Then it's a win.
If it was Maxi and Giannis, it might not be fair.
It'd be
a real problem.
Yes, yes.
Well, let us know on social media. Join a Discord. It's linked in the description. Let us know which duo you would pick. I know there's going to be some angry Philly fans, and I know there's going to be some angry Bucks fans, because sports fans love to be angry. And I know if Andre Drummond's listening, he'll be angry as well. But that's another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast. I appreciate both of you fellas for joining me once again. And make sure you subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. We'll be back with more. Hopefully some stuff happens that we get to talk about, because we're just waiting for the Olympics to roll around. So BJ, make some calls, get some trades happening, or get some players signed. We need something to talk about tomorrow. But it's good. I can't wait for the season to get underway. So until next time, get buckets.